Praise the Lord. Let's look to the Word of God tonight. Trust for a good encouragement and exhortation from the Word. Letters of Christ is the title of the message. And we're going to begin with 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3. Letters of Christ. The Apostle Paul said, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart." The NIV says, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. A letter of Christ." Other translations say a letter from Christ. You are a letter from Christ. You are a letter by Christ. You are a letter of Christ, written not with pen and ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. God is writing. These are incredible words. What an incredible honor for us that we can be letters of Christ. I have 3 points tonight. Number one, a letter is meant to be read. People write a letter. A letter has a purpose. It's meant to be read. Now, we have a New Testament that's filled with letters. Letters of the Apostle Paul, letters of the Apostle Peter and others. The letter to the Corinthians, the letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the Colossians, letters that were to be read to the churches. A letter is meant to be read. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we have the letters to the 7 churches, specific letters to 7 geographical churches of Asia Minor, letters that are meant to be read. And so the New Testament has many letters, and God says, "I send letters to be read." Beyond that, in its entirety, this entire Bible is a divine letter. Why did God give us this divine letter? He meant it to be read, that we would be instructed, that our hearts would be warmed and comforted, and we'd be filled with the wonder of the kingdom of God, that we'd receive counsel and understanding and the wisdom of the Lord. God sent us a divine letter. It's meant to be read. And then as we're looking at the scriptures tonight, we as well are letters. We are letters of Christ, the Bible says, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of God. So the words of God are not literally written upon us. Well, most of us, that is. You know, some people are inked up with the scriptures, if you know what I mean. But this scripture is talking about a living letter, that we are living letters, that when people read us, they're not reading words, they are reading a life. And it's a letter from God. It's a letter from the living God. The Bible says we are living letters. We're alive. We are not to be dead letters, rigid and cold and lifeless, with no expression or animation. We are to be living letters, enthusiastic, filled with fire, filled with the Spirit of God, expressive. These beautiful letters of Christ that we are. Point number two. You are a letter known and read by all men. You are a letter known and read by all men. 2 Corinthians 3:2, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. That's what the Word of God says, that we are written, read by all men. Now you may say, I don't want to be read. Don't look at me. But it's too late. The book is already out. And the book is you. The letter is already out. And the letter is you. People read us. In the home, on the job, in the church, people are reading us. We're reading one another all the time, and the Bible says we should. We are letters of Christ to be read. You know, they're even reading our body language. Letters of Christ. The Bible says known and read of all men, so that when men read us, they say, that's how a person is to worship God. That's how a person is to praise the Lord. I can see it. I can read it. That's how a person is to pray. That's how a person is to give. That is how a person is to raise their family. That is how a person is to speak and conduct themselves and behave themselves wisely. We are letters to be read. People are reading us. When we are read, what do people see? I trust that we are easy to read for people. We are living letters of Christ. We are alive with His presence, with His Word, with His Spirit. We're easy to read. People read, and when they read us, are they reading fact or fiction? Something that is true or untrue? Read our lives. Is it fact or is it fiction? I trust that we don't present ourselves as fact when we're not presenting the truth of the Lord. Some misrepresentation. I'm a Christian. Some misrepresentation, some compromise in our lives, some diluted manner. Some area where we're lesser than what God requires of us. Hopefully people can have enough discernment to differentiate between fact and fiction in our lives. That they look, we read one another, we look at one another in the home, wherever we are. That's fact. That's fiction. That's spirit. That's flesh. That's God. That's a demonstration. Being read. I trust that we are an easy read. You know, sometimes we may be a difficult read. Petulant, moody, bad-tempered. Lord says, I want to put my words on you. I want you to be a letter of Christ. I want you to be a visible display of me, that people are blessed and they can see exactly what I want them to be like. 1 Corinthians 11:1, the Apostle Paul said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He said, you can look on me, you can read me, imitate me. Because I'm not giving you fiction. I'm giving you the truth of God. Your life will be blessed if you walk in the way I walk. 1 Corinthians 11:1. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example. My, that was a stirring story this morning about the little boy trying to walk in his father's footsteps through the snow. And the father walking a way he shouldn't go, and such a correction that came into his spirit. Imitate me, son, daughter, imitate me. Imitate my worship, imitate my prayer, imitate my church attendance, imitate my tithes and offerings and giving, imitate my speech, imitate my character. If you follow me, you will be an example of Christ. You will walk in the blessing of the Lord. John 1:14. And the Word, Jesus, He's called the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ became a living letter. He was the living Word. He became a living letter. He embodied the truth of God. He said, this is what God is like. No sin, no error, no compromise, no stubbornness. He said, this is the living Word. This is God in the flesh. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My, when you read the Gospels, you are reading a living letter. You're not just reading the words on the page of the Gospel writers. You are beholding a living letter. You are reading Jesus Christ as he walks among men, as he handles situations, trial, temptation, persecution, struggle, opposition, the blessing of the Lord he walks in. Transfigured on the mount, you're watching him. You say, there is a living letter. I can read Jesus Christ, and I know how to live, and I know how to conduct my life. 1 John 1:1-2. The Apostle John said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, this Jesus, this living word, this living letter from God. He said the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, a living letter from God, the living word, among men and still alive on the pages of the Bible today. And this same Lord is calling us to be a letter of Christ that people can read us all day long, our home, our family, our acquaintances in the house of God, and they can read and know exactly how they should walk to walk in the blessing and the fullness of the Lord. 3, put some words, sentences, paragraphs on the page of your life. Put some words, sentences, paragraphs on the page of your life. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. The Holy Spirit wants to write upon us. The Holy Spirit wants to write in our hearts so that we become letters of Christ. He writes not with pen and ink. The Spirit of God writes on us. He's ministering the words of God into our very heart. And what he needs from us above everything else is pliability. Lord, here I am. Here I am. Here's the tablet of my heart, the soft, fleshy table of my heart. I repent of my hardened-heartedness. I repent of my reluctance and unwillingness. Come and write your word on my heart. Holy Spirit, come and minister on my heart and write the words of God in my heart. And as we receive the Holy Spirit's writing, as he brings the word of God into our heart and writes it deep upon us, we turn into the epistles of Christ. We turn into the letters of Christ, and we manifest the word of the Lord. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. It's a promise for every son and daughter of God. Now, the Holy Spirit writing on the heart and the response of the people. Of course, we must be very responsive to the Lord, highly receptive in the presence of the Holy Spirit when we're in the Word, so he can write and do his work. There is such a beautiful example and illustration of this in the Bible in Acts chapter 10. The household of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a centurion, a Roman centurion. He hadn't come into full faith yet, but he was going to in this chapter. He was a God-fearer. He was devout. He feared God, but he needed a greater revelation in his life. But listen and watch how he responds. Acts 10:21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius. Cornelius was told, go and send for this man called Peter. He's down in Joppa, and call for him 40 miles away. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he who you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up and saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. The people were gathered. They didn't have text message. They didn't know when he was coming. They said, but sometime today, we know how long it takes to get from Joppa, even a 2J journey. He should be here about this time. And they were waiting. And Cornelius, a centurion, a man of no mean standing, 100 soldiers under him. He had rank in the Roman army. This man is so humble that he falls down before Peter and worships him. Peter lifts him up, say, no, I am also a man. Acts 10:30 to 33. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. We are all present before God. I thought they were present before Peter. I thought they were present before a preacher. Get this in your spirit tonight, and it'll change your attendance in the house of God forever. When we come, we don't just come and be present. We don't present ourselves before a worship team. We don't present ourselves before a preacher. See how the word is today? We present ourselves before God when we come into the house of the Lord. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Now he begins his message. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What a reception! What a spirit in that household. Cornelius' family, he had household servants. I don't know, there could have been 30, 40 people there. Gathered in the presence of God. We're not here before you, Peter. We're present before God. You have some words for us that are going to change our life, that are give us understanding and bless us and lead us on in God. We're here to await those words. And Peter could scarcely finish his message, and the Holy Spirit fell upon those people. What a reception. What a spirit in those people. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Ghost said, their hearts are so open, I'm coming down and I'm going to move on them. That's how our hearts should be when we come to the house of the Lord. When we open the Word of God, Holy Spirit, come and write on me. Come and write your words in my heart. I want to be so pliable, so tender, so hungry that you don't have to work hard on me, Lord. The Holy Spirit all sermon long is writing on the hearts of certain people. Some people are more receptive in a meeting than others. And on them the Holy Spirit rests with glorious power, rhema word, and life-changing anointing. Hallelujah. Let's have the worship team come. Proverbs 3, 1 to 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Holy Spirit, write. Holy Spirit, write your words on my heart. Pliability, softness of heart. My son, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. In Proverbs 7, 1-3, my son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye, as your pupil, so protected by the eye. Keep my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Letters of Christ. Letters are meant to be read. Letters are written. We're read and we are the letters, known and read of all men. And so as we receive the word of the Lord of tonight, let's ask the Holy Spirit once again to put words and sentences and paragraphs on the tablet of our heart. We can partake of the glorious promises of God, but also be a letter of Christ wherever we go, every situation, in our home, tomorrow, wherever we go, in the house of God, in the world as we walk. Letters of Christ and letters from Christ. Tonight, as we're here in God's presence, maybe there's something in the letter that you present that needs some change. Maybe you're a hard read in some areas of your life. You know, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, come and blot out my sins. Come and blot that out. Give me a clean slate tonight. Write on my heart your word, your promise, the very thing I need to change this aspect of my character, some deficiency, some wrong attitude, some spirit, some fleshly manifestation that gets away on you from time to time. Say, Lord, you write on my heart. I want to be a true letter of Christ. Let's stand together in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Tablets of Christ tonight, Lord. Father God, bring change in us, Lord. Is any reluctance or unwillingness in us, Lord? And we see your word and what it calls for, and yet there's this human chafing and striving in us, and pride and self-consciousness, and just our own way. We yield the pliability tonight, Lord. We yield the tablets of our heart. We yield the tables of our heart, Lord, to be soft and pliable, Lord, before you, willing vessels, Father God. You come and by your Spirit minister the Word of God and change us and lead us on in your glorious, glorious life. And we thank you in Jesus' name.